Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Today's message is entitled The Synoptic Gospels. Last night I was chatting with a couple of my kids, Doug and Robin, and Doug asked me what I was speaking on today, and I said I'm talking about the synoptic paralytic. And I said, do you know what synoptic means? And I said, S-Y-N, sin. And Robin's laying on the couch and she says, well that means together and joined and with. And I said, well, an optic means to do with the eye. And she said, well no, op means to do with the eye, and tick means a condition of, and so optic is really a condition of the eye. So synoptic would mean to be able to see something together, to which I said, whatever. Right? And so that's more information that you were going to, than I was going to be able to tell you. And I did say, so do you know what the synoptic gospels are? All the Gospels, she said. No, good neighbor. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the synoptic Gospels. She said, what about John? I said, well, is it the optic Gospel? I don't know. But the reason why we have the synoptic Gospels, why we call them that, with the definition of synoptic, synthesis, synthesizer, synonym, that's synagogue, that's where we find that S-Y-N. Syn, it has to do with together, and optic to view, that we can see them together. Sometimes in your Bibles, near the back after the book of Revelation, there's charts or there's helps and things, and you'll see the stories or the miracles of Jesus listed in the synoptic gospels in columns. And it will be where the paralytic was healed in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke. John tells a different story, a different perspective. So much of John happens in moments. And so even in the book of John, John chapter 13 all the way through 17, they're just in the upper room. So all of those chapters have to do with this moment when Jesus is together with the disciples, that big chunk of scripture in the Gospel of John. But Matthew and Mark and Luke, so many of the stories, the miracles, the things that happen, you can find them all throughout that. This is the synoptic Gospels. We can look at them together. Well, this morning, that's exactly what we're going to do with a miracle, with a story that unfolds. We're going to actually read all three of the same story in Matthew and Mark and Luke. Then I'm going to highlight some things that stood out to me that hopefully will stand out to you. And I guess I would really like to just encourage you in this. When you're reading in Matthew, Mark, and Luke and you find a story, I'd encourage you to look it up in the other Gospels for a fuller picture. So what we're going to do this morning, we're going to walk through these three stories. And as we do, we're going to get the fullest picture of this account of someone who was paralyzed that Jesus has an encounter with, or he has the encounter with Jesus. Pray the Holy Spirit speaks to us as we begin in Matthew. Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along, or if you have your the notes in the app. Matthew 9, verse 1 through 8, it says this. So he, this being Jesus, he got into the boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. We don't know what city this is, at least in Matthew's moment here. Came to his own city. Then behold, they, we don't know who, brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. There's no mention of where they are in the city, if anybody else is around. Here we go. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. At once some of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say arise and walk? And then he says this statement, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. He arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men. That's Matthew's snapshot of that story. jump on over to Mark's gospel. Shows up a little earlier in Mark's gospel. Sometimes the events are in a little different order, but mostly they're the same. But we show up in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Here's the story again. See if anything stands out to you that we haven't heard before. I'll highlight some of them. And again, he came to Capernaum after some days, for it was heard that he was in the house. Now, that's new information. We didn't know he was in Capernaum. Other places in the Gospels and the accounts, we would know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, and then dwelt in Capernaum. Matthew didn't tell us that. He just simply said he went to his own city. But Mark tells us specifically it was Capernaum. And then he tells us to a house. Okay, so we've got more information. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. Okay, so there's not just the scribes we heard about. There's an overflowing crowd, and he preached the word to them. Jesus preached the word to them. We didn't know what Jesus was doing. We didn't know that this is an interruption moment. He preached the word to them. Goes on to say, then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. That's the they. When they brought them, we didn't know it was four men carrying this guy. When they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Now, Matthew had just told us that they laid the man in front of Jesus. We had no clue that this was unfolding. They're up on the rooftop, and they lower him down in front of Jesus. And Jesus says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, it's the same phrase, son, your sins are forgiven you. And then some of the scribes were sitting there reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? See, Mark now tells us that's what the blasphemy was. Matthew only told us that they were thinking he was a blasphemer. Mark unfolds for us exactly what they were thinking. Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately when Jesus perceived this in his spirit, that they reasoned thus within themselves, they weren't saying it, they're just thinking it. He said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he arose, took up the bed and went out in the presence of them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. You never had a friend like me. We've never seen anything like this. See, this is new. We just knew that they were amazed before, but they weren't just amazed. They said something. We have never seen this. The last of the Synoptic Gospels, Luke chapter 5. We'll read the story one more time. Now, it happened on a certain day that as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And Luke is explaining some clarity. Luke, our physician, who loves details all the way through the book of Luke, through the book of Acts. He's counting, he's keeping record, he's tallying. Luke in his details. He says, on a certain day. So this just wasn't every day. It wasn't like on a certain day, unique to this moment, he explains what drew the crowd and where the crowd was from. We just knew that the house was overflowing. Now it's the Pharisees and the scribes who have gathered from all around the region and have gathered in and around this house. They're crowded in. And then Luke says this. It's a very unique statement. It's a very powerful statement that we need to pay attention to. Especially we look at the things that we learn more as we read through all the Gospels. It says this, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. This is not just a precursor to what's going to happen. It's not just a heads up to the readers. It's a definitive statement that he makes with purpose. He uses the same word that Jesus uses in the book of Acts. And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. It's that same word, power. It has to do with might. It has to do with strength. It has to do with dynamite, dynamic. It's this powerful might. And that's what Luke informs us, that kind of power was present to heal them. All three of the Gospels, we read two, we'll read one more account, we'll say, Jesus says that you might know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, I say to you. Now, this is not the same word. When Jesus uses the word power, he's using the word that has to do with authority. It's when Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me at the end of Matthew. Therefore, in heaven and on earth, therefore go and make disciples. It's this authority. It has to do with a kingly reigning. And not only does he have that kind of authority, Luke is saying it's not just about his authority, he's got the power to back it up. He's got the might to back it up, and that power is present. Let's continue reading. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find out how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, your sins are forgiven you. The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who blasphemes? Who can forgive sins but God alone? When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say rise up and walk? But that you may know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, departed to his own house, glorifying God. They were all amazed and glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Mark says they said, we've never seen anything like this before. Luke is saying, they said, we've seen strange things today. It's not a contradiction. They're picking up on different conversations what the crowd is saying. I heard them say this. And now we have the fullest picture of this story of this paralytic man. Fullest picture that Scripture tells us about him by looking at the Synoptic Gospels, looking at this story three times. Let's look at some things that stood out to me. And I would encourage you to read your Bible like this. Look and see the story. Get the fullest picture you can, and then see what stands out to you and what the Lord might speak to you. And I pray that even happens today as I talk about what stood out to me. As you're reading, as we're looking here, some things will stand out to you. But not just for, isn't that interesting? Rather for how does it apply to my life and how do I walk this out? The first thing that I saw was he went to his own city. I love that. I love this phrase, he went to his own city, because I believe with such a conviction that it has to work in our own city. The gospel has to work in our own city. We can hear of all kinds of marvelous things that happen in other places in Canada or across the world, but all marvelous testimonies. But I say, let it happen here in Calgary, Calgary for Christ, right here where we live. Calgary for Christ. But one thing that we need to be mindful of, and this is helpful as we look at Scripture, to not just look at only stories or bits and pieces. We look, wouldn't it be great if the miracles took place right here in Calgary and we saw all this? Because Jesus will say in another place later on in Matthew about Capernaum, he'll say, woe to you. He'll say, you know, if the miracles that were done in you, Capernaum, were done in Sodom, Sodom would still be standing today. It would still be here today. It's not just about seeing the miraculous takes place. It's about a people turning to God, not just for what God can do, the miraculous, working the miracles. It's following Jesus as King. Next thing that stood out to me is they carried this man to Jesus. I have for a number of weeks here, each week, talked about we need to invite people. We need to bring people. We need to compel people. And it was based on that a sermon I shared from God's Word about a feast that was being given, and a man sent out the invitations and people refused. And he said to the servant, invite them and bring them and then compel them. And I think we need to do all of those things, invite and bring and compel. But sometimes we just simply need to carry people. More than inviting and bringing and compelling. There's some people who will never get to Jesus other than if we need to carry them. And I love this, that it was four men who brought this man, that we need to bring people to Jesus. I love the plural nature of that. It's not just single. Can you imagine one guy bringing the other guy to Jesus? The paralytic, dragging him along, putting him up on his, you know, you get to the house and you got to go up on the roof. How is that going to work? There were four guys who brought this man. We often say four friends. You read the text along with me. It doesn't say that. Somehow, they chose to help this man. Maybe they were friends. The other thing that stood out to me was get out of the way. Get out of the way. Someone needed to get to Jesus, and he couldn't because of the religious people crowded in. Religion crowds out people from meeting Jesus. Get out of the way. Let's make sure there's always access for people to come to Jesus. Because it's not all about me. It's not all about us. We need to make a way for people to be able to come to Jesus. Even my desire to be close with him, may I just not be in the way. It's not all about me. It was interesting that one of the Gospels tells us what Jesus was doing. He was preaching the word. In the midst of the context with all of these people, he was preaching the word. Another Gospel said he was teaching. What was he teaching? He was teaching God's word. In this gathering, people around, may that be true of our gatherings. Wherever we are, may we be able to open God's word and learn. That's why it's so important that even today I read through the scriptures, because you need more than a sermon. A sermon will help you cope, but God's word will change you. We need to be a changed people, a transformed people, not just some tips. One of the other things that stood out to me was, you know, they get up on this roof. And Capernaum, the houses, you know, they'd have the rafters, or they'd have the beams, but then they're covered, and quite often there's at the top there's a layer of mud is what needs to be dug through. But here it talks about the tiles that they removed, and it says it was just this phrase, when they had broken through. It wasn't that there was a skylight that they just removed and lowered them down. When they had broken through. It takes effort and intentionality to bring people to Jesus. Sometimes it just takes time and a lot of work. But don't give up till you have breakthrough. Don't give up before you break through. And there's a way, there's an opening to bring someone to Jesus. I visited with Audrey's sister, my sister-in-law. She stayed with us this week. We talked lots about the Lord and about all kinds of things. But she said this phrase, and she said it repeatedly. And I liked it because it just fits with this moment of breakthrough. She said, we need to get people to Jesus and get Jesus to people. We need to get people to Jesus and get Jesus to people. What else matters? We've got to get them to Jesus. Don't give up before you have breakthrough. It takes time. It takes effort. Don't give up because there's a crowd out front. Don't give up because it's complicated. Don't give up because there's no easy access. Find a way, make a way. Don't give up till there's breakthrough. Jesus, it says in each one of these things that we read, it says when he saw their faith. It's not somehow that faith was something that they believed. Christian faith, New Testament faith, it has to do with more than believing, some kind of mental acknowledgement. Scripture will tell us that even the demons believe and tremble. So it's not just an acknowledgement. Their faith caused them to do something. Each time in the New Testament where Jesus says these words, your faith has made you well, your faith has saved you, that phrase, it has to do with their faith has done something. It was an action that happened. The woman who pressed through the crowd to touch the hem of his garment, if I can just get through, daughter, your faith has made you well. Blind Bartimaeus, where there's a group of people telling him to quit making a scene, he cries out all the more. He comes to Jesus. Jesus heals him. He says, your faith has made you well. There's a leper, there's 10 of them crying out to Jesus, have mercy on us. Jesus calls them, heals them. They go away. One of them turns back and comes back to Jesus, falls at his feet in worship and thanksgiving. And Jesus says, your faith has made you whole. Each one of these things, their faith did something. When Jesus attributes their faith, it's not just this possession of belief. Their faith caused them to do something. Each one, it caused them to get to Jesus. Even though there's a crowd, I'm going to get to Jesus. Even though there is a crowd, I am going to call out to Jesus. Even though the crowd is going the other way, I am going to get to Jesus. Your faith needs to take you to Jesus. When he saw their faith, who does he think he is? Well, that's kind of what the Pharisees and the scribes, that's what rolled around in their minds and hearts. Who does he think he is? Blasphemy. Only God and God alone can forgive sins. Who does he think he is? I can't imagine any of us would let those words off our lips and not even in our hearts. When Jesus is healing us, when Jesus is forgiving us, we watch this beautiful story, he heals a man, he forgives him. It's something. When we're praying and we're watching God do the miraculous in our lives, we're so grateful. But what happens when he doesn't do the miraculous? What happens when things go so hard sideways and the wheels come off and we're left saying, God, I know you're all powerful and I know you're all loving, but it sure looks like you came up short here. Where are you? What happened? I believed, I trusted, I did all that I knew to do, and it seems like you're not doing all that you know to do. Who does he think he is? He thinks he's the Son of God, because he is. And I think not only the answer for them, the answer for us. Who does he think he is? He's the Son of God. And the sooner we recognize that he is God and we are not, the better things go for us. That we look to him and we surrender and we say, Lord, I choose to follow you. We make the declaration, like Job, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. I have decided to follow Jesus. Who does he think he is? He's the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. And I will bow my knee, not based on circumstance or situation. I will bow my knee because he is worthy. Jesus said that you might know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. Power on earth. Some people live their life not knowing that they can be forgiven right here, right now on earth. Jesus, when he taught us to pray, he said, pray this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As we unfold the rest of that model prayer, we see Jesus talking about our daily bread and forgiveness. But the whole thing is present tense. It's not future tense. Everything prayed there is present tense. Our Father, he is our Father right now who art in heaven. He's reigning and ruling. Hallowed be your name. He is holy right now. Your kingdom come. It means right here, right now. Your will be done. Present tense. And when Jesus talked about that you might know that the Son of Man has power on earth, he's talking about in this moment right here. You don't need to wait. Jesus can do that now. The last couple things that I'll share. One was that Jesus knows our needs. I don't know if you join me in thinking of what looks like just, Jesus, you missed it. We're bringing this man who can't walk. And I don't know how they lowered him down. If he stayed horizontal the whole time, if there were four ropes or whatever, if it's under his armpits and down he goes. It said he was on his bed, on his mat, if they strapped that to him and laid him. Like, we just don't know. We do know one thing for sure, he couldn't walk. And they lay him before Jesus, and Jesus says, I forgive you. That's good to be all spiritual and everything, but that's not why we brought him. He can't walk. Like, It's when Jesus says to the blind man, "What do you want from me?" Everybody around is figuring we got this nailed.
This guy needs to walk, Jesus.
But you know, there are a lot of people who can walk who are trapped in sin and shame and condemnation and bound up in sorrow and sadness because of choices, consequences. A lot of people who can walk and run and dance a jig, but are dead on the inside. And Jesus looks past this physical need and he says, "You're forgiven." And when he says, "You're forgiven," I have no idea what transpired in that man's life. I think it was probably very much like when I went to a communion service in Westminster Abbey. As I went to this Eucharist service, it was a church, obviously a Church of England, and it was time for communion, and I went up because I thought, the priest said, "If you want to just come and receive a blessing, I'll do that." I thought, well, okay, I'm in. There's an altar call here every Sunday. I'd come forward, just pray for me, I'm ready. So I went up, and I forget, I think you put your arms crossed like this if you didn't want communion, if you just wanted a blessing. So that's what I did. However, I don't remember the symbol, I think it was like that. And they prayed something over me. I can't tell you what it was, I don't remember. All I remember is, whoa, something just happened. They were blessing me, and I was blessed. I don't know what took place, but it was like the touch and the presence of God on my life in that moment. As I came forward in faith and trust, and I mean, not this great, huge faith, wow, this is going to happen. I was like, I'm willing, I'm coming. And something happened. I don't know what took place for that man when Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven," but I do know one thing, his sins were forgiven. And then Jesus said that you might know that I'm able to do that. I'm going to show you this. Sometimes we need to meet the physical need in order for people to receive the spiritual need. Sometimes it's just so practical. We have to help in so many ways. Don't tell me Jesus loves me when I can't get groceries on the table. Don't tell me that God really cares when I don't have a warm coat or I have nobody to drive me to my doctor's appointment. Sometimes we have to meet the physical needs to be able to meet the spiritual need or have a voice into that. And he says, "Go to your house." And so the guy walks home. It looks so normal. It's the first time he ever walked to his house. For the first time, the man walked to his house. And sometimes the difference Jesus makes in your life, it doesn't look like a difference at all, unless you knew me before. Had you known me before, you would see the difference that Jesus has made in my life. That's the power of testimony. Tell people what Jesus has done for you, the difference that he's made in your life. It might not look it now, but I'll tell you what, I was different. I'm changed. You could drive with me these days. You'd think I was a very normal driver. But there was a moment when there was a moment when Jesus set me free. Well, first he convicted me. And then secondly, he set me free from rage. I am one of the most patient drivers on the planet now. You're in front of me and the light turns green and we just sit, I'm okay. And some of you might be coming unglued right now just thinking about that. And do you know why? If you knew me before, now I've got a testimony, Jesus set me free. The last thing, and then I'm going to pray with you. Last part of the story, it's really a sad part. I don't want to end on a sad note, but if we carry it through, it's not going to be a sad note for you. It's a very sad part of the story. It's what Luke said. If you remember what Luke said, he said that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. That's what it says. Other versions, other translations, I've looked back, the Greek is there. It says this, that the power of the Lord was present to, it wasn't just resident within Jesus, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And we only hear about one person being forgiven, we only hear about one person being set free, we only hear about one person being healed, we only hear about this one person being transformed. And everybody else spectated what Jesus was doing in this man's life. How sad for people to be so crowded around Jesus and people simply are spectators of forgiveness or people are spectators of healing. But you know, the power to be made whole, to be forgiven, to be set free is available here on earth, here right now, in this moment, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can heal us, He can forgive us, He can set us free. It's so very easy to come to Jesus. It's not complicated. Well, maybe that's better to say. Sometimes it's difficult because it's an effort and we can feel shame or condemnation. That's just the enemy wanting to keep us from Jesus. That's religious people or religious things trying to crowd us out from getting to Jesus. It's uncomplicated. We just need to come. And to be forgiven, we simply say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Come into my life. I want to follow you. And something supernatural takes place. Some people experience all kinds of feelings. Others do not. But something supernatural takes place. Some people have prayed that prayer. Some people have never prayed that prayer ever before. I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that today. Those here in this room and those watching online. I'm hearing more and more and more about people watching online every week. I believe even today God's got transformation for you today. Some people have never prayed that prayer. We can pray a prayer today of asking the Lord to forgive us. Others have prayed it before and been sincere and walked with the Lord, but somehow have walked away. Maybe not intentionally. I'm done with you. I'm going my own way. But somehow, over time, it's just become a distant relationship with the Lord. It's not like you've denied Him, but it's you're simply not walking with Him and would like to get things right today. You can do that. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. We're going to put it up on the screen, and I'm just going to pray it, invite you to pray the words after me. Scripture tells us that if we would believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we'll be saved. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So if you'd like to respond to this, the good news, for the first time or the first time in a long time, I invite you to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you would pay the penalty for my sin by dying on the cross in my place. I believe you rose to life again and now offer me a new life in you. I ask you to forgive me for my sin and to cleanse me from the inside out. I invite you into my life as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to live for you all the days of my life. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, I'd invite you to tell someone. Let someone know that you made a decision this day. Because he has the power on earth to forgive sins, and your life is now different. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.